Good morning. Merry Christmas. Man, I'll tell you one thing. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, even though it's a little brisk and chilly outside. And one thing is, we're glad we don't have to work outside today, right? God is good.
All the time.
He really, really is good. Hey, look around. Look at somebody. Give them a smile. Give them a wave. One that says, I am so glad that you're here today. If you're part of our online audience today, we certainly do appreciate you joining us, and you know that you're part of our family as well. Once again, I just want to thank so much our very own Dr. John Cazito, who monitors our online audience back there. Everybody look around, wave at Dr. John back there in the back. He is the quiet kind of guy. You don't ever hear much out of him, but man, what a phenomenal fella, and I certainly appreciate all that he does in regard to our online audience and keeping up with them. So if you ever have any questions, he's got the answers for you, or he can get the answers for you. As for the rest of you, we are so glad that you're here today. Man, I wouldn't want to be any other place than right here today on the time that we celebrate the Lord's birthday, to be in his house. What a joy it is to be able to come together and to celebrate, to lift up our voices in song, to take these moments and these opportunities to just reflect on him and what this day is really, really all about. So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you, we're once again grateful and thankful that you've given us this time and these moments to be able to come into your house and, Lord, to worship you. Man, what a great day. The day in which we celebrate your birth. Father, we thank you for those that have been moved in such a way to be here today. Lord, to just gather with like-minded believers and to lift up our hearts to you. Father, we pray that you'll help us in each and everything that we do. Lord, whether it's our singing, whether it's the time that we go to you in prayer, Lord, whether it's our giving, no matter what it may be, Father, today may we truly see everything that we do as an act of worship, from our hearts straight to yours. Lord, I pray that you'll give a special blessing to each and every one today who has taken the time and the moments, Father, in their busy schedule to come and to be here today. Bless them in a special way that only you can. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know, as you know, most of you know, we're in the Lottie Moon offering season, the time in which we take the collection for our Lottie Moon offering. And what that is that is what supports and keeps our missionaries on the field through the International Mission Board. Those that are all over the world are supported through the offering that Southern Baptist churches take during this time. We call it the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It was named after a missionary, Lottie Moon, who really gave her life for the Chinese folks. In fact, she actually passed away on her way back from China, and she had starved to death. And the reason why was that she actually was giving her food to those that she was ministering to. So she really gave every ounce of her life to serving our Lord and Savior. That's what the offering is named after. If the Lord has led you to give to that, you can do so at the time when we take up the offering. There are offering envelopes probably in your pew. If not, you can just write Lottie Moon on it. So I think we have some Lottie Moon Christmas envelopes. If you don't, you can just write on that. But once again, 100% of this goes to keep those missionaries on the field. There's no administrative cost or anything that comes out of that. And then we've always said before, it's not that we just want you to give to these things. We want you to know who our missionaries are. So each Christmas we have the joy and the pleasure of being able to show you a little bit about a couple of those, and that is no less true today. So Tim's going to show us a video of one of our international missionaries.
We don't see points on a map. They aren't just places to us. We see stories of lives living without the hope found in Jesus. Today, somewhere between the Great Commission and the Great Multitude, we find ourselves facing the world's greatest problem: lostness. Even in the midst of natural disasters, humanitarian crises, and political instability, Southern Baptists send IMB missionaries to give their lives to the lost, living amongst those who have never heard the gospel. People in hard-to-reach places, people in cities, and those who are dispersed and displaced around the world. the IMB, we believe that missionary presence cultivates gospel access. Gospel access that knows no geographic or social boundary. We believe that missionary presence fuels gospel belief. And we see the results. We see lives transformed, generations forever changed, and churches planted. Local expressions of the church that take ownership and thrive. God has made our purpose clear. Together, we seek to take the gospel to every nation, to all tribes, to all peoples, to all languages. We don't see places on a map. We see our place in fulfilling the Great Commission. This is our mission. This is your mission. And we are reaching the nations together.
Spirituals were not created to be sung or performed. They were created as a worship to God. They were kind of like our colonial psalms, okay? They were songs that were praise and worship to the Lord, and they got written down because they were passed on by word of mouth from generation to generation. This song is about a baby. It's about more than a baby. Everybody loves babies. I had the privilege of holding my 3-month-old great-grandson last week, and so I have a new appreciation for babies, but it's also about Jesus, and it's mainly about Jesus, and the fact is that when you go to read the Christmas story in the Bible, we turn to Matthew or Luke, because John and Mark didn't write many things about the nativity. But John wrote in the first chapter, in the tenth, beginning at the 10th verse, he wrote that Jesus came into the world that he created, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own people, and his own people rejected him. So this song is about a baby that came into the world and was rejected by his own people. And even now today, many folks don't know who he is.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. You Master, you done showed us how. Even when you was dying, just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you, but please, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you, sweet little Jesus boy, born a long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you were.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas. Thank you, David and Donna. First of all, thank you all who made it last Sunday night. We really enjoyed, and everybody who participated in the, see Kelly in the band and the choir and the ladies ensemble and solo. And thank you all for being here and for all who participated and helped with the fellowship afterwards. That was a great time, so we appreciate that. If you would please join me singing 87, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Stand with me as we sing.
And
please turn with me to hymn number 96, Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Bibles, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. This is not an unfamiliar passage to us, but I believe that we should take a different look and have a little bit of a different perspective in light of God's Word today. Now, I always do little polls, so if you're kind of new around here, you'll find out what Roy's polls are, as they say. But here's one of the things I want to ask you today. How many of you have enough time on your hands? How many of you don't have enough time on your hands? That's most of. How many of you all think this is crazy and you're afraid to answer this question? It's not a trick, I promise. It's just really a personal opinion. Well, we're going to look at this from a time perspective today. Maybe not how you think about it, but I'm talking about in a way that becomes personal to each and every one of us. You know, I was sitting there thinking, as we've gone through Christmas, we have been amidst the push and shove. How many of you would agree? How many of y'all have griped and complained, at least to yourself, about traffic and lines in stores? You have called people things that don't please Jesus that you either had or need to repent of. Hallelujah. I'm there with you. My knees are sore. You're sitting there going, golly Pete, we've come back from the pandemic all right. This ought to be a banner year because everybody in the world's in line in front of me. And every one of them's slow. They don't have what they need. How many of you all will pick that line, the shortest line, and you'll get in it, and then that line beside you that's so long, the person that you would have been behind gets through and they're in their car at home before you get there? Amen. There's my people. That's my line. That's the one I pick. But I was sitting there thinking about that, and I thought about all the things that we do and all the push and shove, all the things that we go about doing, all for something that's not about what we make it about. You know, as you came in here today, I hope that you took the time and maybe looked around, but I hope that one of the things that you saw is what's sitting down here on our communion table. That manger scene. That nativity. Now understand my heart. I'm not here to battle whip you today. Because I know that most of us had Santa Claus visit this morning, didn't we? That's okay. That's cool. That's not a problem. You know, everybody's sitting there going, should I answer this question? No, because we're all right. I'm just as guilty as the next person.
But then what we do is, as we start to head into the season, we start to get goofy about things. We start to run here and run there and buy this and buy that and wrap this and get this over there and got to be here and got to be there. Let me ask you this question. Where does Jesus come in to this picture? And if we're honest with ourselves, we will find that we generally have our priorities completely messed up when it comes to what Christmas is really all about. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that maybe you're not a believer. Most of us are. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing for Santa Claus to come to your house. But how much time does Santa Claus get versus how much time Jesus gets in preparation for the Christmas season and in preparation for today? Let me tell you something. I have learned something. You know what I've learned? Y'all get ready for this. You already know it. People do what people want to do. People go where people want to go. So the question is, where are your priorities? Now, I want to tell you this. This is my personal belief. Everybody's entitled to opinion. This is America, right? I think the greatest place that we could be right now is in the Lord's house celebrating the birth of our Savior. I believe that. Now, some of y'all just got mad. John's probably going to be sitting back there online all by himself. Everybody said, well, I'm turning him off now. He just made me mad. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am doing is trying to get you to look at your priorities and to look at something that is very crucial, that is very beneficial in our days, and it is called time. Remember when I said a minute ago, a lot of us don't seem to have enough of it, do we? I still remember, and I was talking with a lady, my mentor's oldest daughter. My mentor's with the Lord now, or at least, you know, one of them. Not one Lord, one mentor is with the Lord, because he's only with one. But his daughter had called to check on me, and we were kind of reminiscing some old days. And I told her, I said, yeah, I said, your daddy told me something that I thought was crazy at the time, but I heeded his advice. And what he told me was this. He said, he said, as a young guy in my 20s, and he said, now I want you to get into the retirement program. I'm in my 20s. I'm like, you crazy? He said, now you need to get into the retirement program. And he said, because one of these days, that old man's going to come knocking on your door, and it's going to be quicker than you think. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. This is 30 years later, and he was right, because it seems like only yesterday. Now, what does that have to do with Christmas? What does that have to do with our text that I haven't read yet? It has a lot to do with it. Because, folks, here's what I want us to understand. We are running out of time. So we need to redeem the time. We need to make the very, very best of the time that God has given us. Because let me tell you, it can change just like that. I was blessed. I was given a miracle a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who may not know, on the first of the month, this month, so that would be 24 days ago, I had a wonky leg. I was walking kind of funny. I went to the doctors. I went to the hospital, and they said, oh, you've had a stroke. I said, say what? I said, now, I don't look like a stroke victim. I don't sound like a stroke victim. Because God is good. And all the time, God is good. But you know what? I thought about, what would it have been like if I would have been a typical stroke victim? Would my time of being able to preach the gospel be over with? Would my time of being able to do normal things, everyday things, get dressed, tie my shoes, and all those different things, what would have happened if 24 days ago life would have taken that turn? Let me remind you of something. You are one heartbeat away from eternal life in one place or the other. One heartbeat. It could change just like that. So the question is, have you redeemed the time and are you ready? I want us to look at time here relative to our passage that we're going to look at today, which is Luke's gospel in chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. This is the Christmas story. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. Verse 3, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made it widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds." Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, your Holy Spirit is here to speak to each and every one of us today. I pray, Lord, that we will give time, that we will give concentration to what the Lord would have to say to us personally on an individual level and an individual basis today from the Word. Lord, be with this your messenger for these few moments, that you and you alone truly would be magnified and lifted up. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I sit there and I think about time, I want us to understand something in regard to time. One of the things that I think that it's critical for us to understand is that God is time. You have to think that from the days of the Old Testament, the Old Testament's prophets prophesied a coming Messiah, didn't they? It talked about all the things that would take place. In fact, we've even heard the Old Testament's prophets prophesy where Jesus would be born, didn't they? The only thing was they didn't know exactly when. Now, a lot of time had passed. We are in a society that's instant. We want instant gratification. We want same-day shipping. We want it now. Now, I've reminded you of this so many times, and I think that there's enough folks in here and maybe listening that maybe remember some of my older days and your older days. And the one that always used to just get me so much was there would be one of the most fantastic toys I had ever seen that was going to be given away by a cereal company. Remember, you had to eat 97 boxes of Captain Crunch, then you had to send it in, you had to send in the box tops, and then you waited what seemed like a year to get your little toy or something. You had forgotten about it by the time you got it. We used to have to wait on stuff, didn't we? Yeah, and we were used to that. But we've gotten into this point in society where we don't like to wait on anything. You go up to a restaurant, how long's your wait? Oh, it's an hour and a half. I'm out. I'm gone. You know, we'll drive through and get our pills at the pharmacy, won't we? We have become agents of convenience. We want it to go our way. We don't like to spend our time. Now, I'm not saying that all those things are bad by any stretch of the imagination. I'm the same way. If it's an hour and a half wait, I'm heading to Wendy's. I'm not going to sit there for an hour and a half. But think about how long people had waited for the long coming Messiah. Think about what it was like in the days of the Old Testament. Think about what it was like for Solomon and for David, who knew, who they believed that God was who he said he was. They believed that there would be a coming Messiah that would save the people from their sins, and they just had to wait. We don't like to wait, do we? You see, what happens, there's a couple things that happen when we wait. Number one, we get bored, don't we? I mean, we'll start reading stuff that you otherwise wouldn't read. Not only do you begin to get bored, you begin to get distracted, don't you? All of a sudden, you start looking around. How many of y'all have ever gotten distracted from something that you were waiting on and you missed it? There was that small moment, that small window of where you had to see or do something, and you were like, oops, where'd it go? Or you decided to go get you a cup of coffee around the corner while you were waiting on that bus, and when you got back, you was watching it drive away. The timing seemed to work out that way for you. Well, folks, here's what I want you to understand today about time. God is time. Every single moment of your life is a moment in time that God has a plan for. And let me make you another promise. There is no plan B. You know why? God doesn't need plan B, because plan A always works. They had waited and waited and waited for the Messiah. Now, we've said, and if you know some Bible history, there was a 400-year period of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, and the beginning of the New Testament is where we see the birth of Christ. There were people, remember, Herod even had wise men who knew the Scriptures. Remember what happened when the actual wise men came seeking Jesus, and Herod was like, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about, a king? I'm the king around here. And remember what Herod did? Herod went and asked his wise men what time or what the story was with this newborn king. And they gave him the right answer. They said there would be a coming Messiah. He would be born in Jerusalem. It was 6 miles down the road from them. See, here's what happened. They were so busy being religious that they missed Jesus. Are we too busy being Christian, so busy being Christian, that we are completely missing Jesus? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been there. We're so busy, like the church at Ephesus. Remember in Revelation what was told to the church at Ephesus? He said, I know your works. You have done all the good stuff. You have tried the prophets. You've done all these wonderful things. Your programs are wonderful. However, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Why do we do what we do? Why do believers do what we do? Why do we even come to church? Well, because mama always taught me how to do that. That ain't a good enough reason. It's not a bad reason. But hopefully along the way, something sunk in. Maybe the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart. Why is it that we came here today? You know, it's interesting that as I look over this crowd, I can think, yeah, I'm sure there were other things you could be doing right now. I'm sure that for some of you it was a labor of love to be able to get here on time because you had some Christmas presents. I'm sure that some of you have plenty of places that you need to go for the rest of this day. And yet, you chose to spend time with God's people in God's house. I commend you, and so does the Master. We look at these passages, all of a sudden, time that seemed like it was standing still from the prophecies of the Old Testament about a Messiah, now it's rapidly picking up pace. We know that as we start to head into particularly Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, that the angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, you know, you're going to be with a child from the Father. Don't be afraid. We've heard the sermons preached about how the angel appeared to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, here's something else I want us to get today. God has a schedule. He's got a time frame. And let me make you a promise. Yours and his do not jihaw. And God's people said, if you've got a time frame, let me make you a promise. It's not going to be the Lord's. You ain't that good. Neither am I. And then what we do is we try to bring God around to our way of thinking. Well, Lord, I think this is the best way to go. No, no, it's not. The Lord's got a plan. The coming of the Messiah was all part of God's plan. And it was all part of God's time and all part of God's timing. Now think about this. Think about how complex this really is. The time that the angel appeared before Mary, the time that the angel appeared before Joseph, all the things that Mary and Joseph had to go through, the ridicule, the criticism, the thoughts, the talking about behind their back. Everybody thought that they had been in some way immoral. Remember, Joseph's buddies were probably saying, you're crazy for keeping her around. I know how babies are born. Had there ever been an immaculate conception before Mary's? This is yes and this is no. Okay, I'm asking you, has there ever been an immaculate conception before Mary's? Has there been one since? Could you see where that might be a little bit hard to believe? Yes. And then what happens is a pregnancy takes 9 months, doesn't it? Now, I want you to think about what it must have been like, because all of a sudden there went out from verse 1 of our text a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, that's not like it is today. You can't phone that in. You don't go to an app. You don't go to a website. Guess how it had to be done in that day? Everybody had to travel back to their own birth city. That's how that took place. For the taxing or the registering. So you know what that meant? That meant that Mary and Joseph both had to make a journey. Guess how far along sweet Mary was in her pregnancy. Let me leave it up to your imagination, because she was great with child. Now, I certainly wouldn't want to say that to an expecting mother who is in her latter days or latter weeks. If you go up and say, ooh, you look great with child, you're liable to get your ears boxed. But she was in that. She was in the very end stages. Now, she didn't jump into a Lexus and ride on down to Jerusalem, did she? Or Bethlehem. She didn't do that. How did you get around? A beast of burden. I'm trying to just imagine this because I can't think about it. Now, some of you ladies could. A lot of you ladies in here that are present with us, you've had children before. How'd you like to get on a mule or a horse and take a ride at 9 months pregnant? You'd probably be thinking of some things that don't please Jesus at that point, wouldn't you? They had to make this journey. They had to get back there. Listen, that did not seem like a convenient time for Mary and Joseph, did it? No. Do you think maybe they grumbled a little bit? I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I know they were far better people than I am, because yeah, the Lord talked about them. Mary found favor with God. Joseph found favor with God. All they knew is that they had to be there, 9 months pregnant or not. By the way, who do you think set that up? Do you think that Caesar Augustus just decided to do this without some sort of leading and some sort of direction? Do you think it was accidental that Joseph and Mary had to be in Bethlehem at this particular time? If you think so, then you need to go back and read the Old Testament prophets that talk about where the Savior would be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, because God already knew the plan. Now, let me bring this, make it personal. God already knows the plan in your life. He already knows the time frame. He already knows the time schedule in your life as to what He wants to happen, where it needs to happen, how it needs to happen. And He will get you where He wants you to be. It wasn't an accident that they got there. Do you think that there was an accident that the Messiah was born in a barn, laid in a manger? The answer to that is no. You know, most people would sit back and think, well, you know, they needed the penthouse at the Ritz-Carlton. That's where it should have taken place because He's the king. Well, that's correct. But you know what the problem with that is? The problem with that is that when things like that take place, those are people of royalty who are untouchable. You remember what the laws of that day said? If you remember, on Wednesday nights, we've just come through the book of Esther. We've been talking about Esther. Remember, even Esther, the wife of the king, could not approach the king unless summoned. And if she did, the only way that she wouldn't die would be if the king held out the scepter to say it was all right for her to come into the presence. If he didn't, then she would die because the guards would kill her. That is untouchable. Jesus, our king, is not untouchable, is he? He is reachable. He is reachable to every area, to every race, to every man, woman, and child ever born on the face of this planet. Jesus is reachable. And how do I know? Not only is He reachable, you're not having to grasp for something so far off. He's reaching to you. In and of ourselves, we don't even have it in us to reach to Jesus, but Jesus is reaching to us. It's not by accident. The timing in Mary and Joseph's life was not by accident. The timing in your life is not by accident. They got there, and I can imagine what it must have been like. Could you imagine? They've already made this journey. Mary is 9 months pregnant. They get into town. Now, they didn't have they couldn't Google a place to stay. They didn't have the Holiday Inn. It was essentially people's homes that they would open up for people to stay in. And now, not only do they have to go to Bethlehem, they have to go at the worst possible time because there's going to be a crowd there. Why is there going to be a crowd there? Because everybody who was from that area had to come back to be registered. That's why Joseph and Mary had to be there to start with. So now we can't find a hotel. All the inns are full. If you were in Joseph and Mary's position, what would you be thinking at this point? Joseph's trying his best. God love him. He goes up, knocks on the door, says, "We need a room." They're like, "Sorry, no vacancy." "Well, let's go on to the next place." "Hey, we need a place to stay. Can you fit us in?" "Nope, sorry." Now, it was obvious that Mary was great with child. And I know that some of us would probably sit back and say, "Well, where was the love? Where was the compassion? What are you going to do in this regard?" And you know, I don't know what it was like. Now you're going to get a little bit of gospel according to Roy, okay? So remember that. So what happens? I'm thinking that maybe they went up and they're getting exhausted. It's probably the last place they could think of. They knock on the door. "Hey, look, man, yeah, we need a room. Sorry, we don't have any vacancies." And maybe there was a compassionate mother that was there who said, "We can't let them get away like this." And the guy's sitting there going, "Well, what do you want me to do, honey? Oh, we ain't got no room. Only bed left's mine, and I ain't giving that up." And she goes, "Well, you can do something. Surely you can do something about this. We can't just let that sweet, nice little couple. Look at her. God bless her. She looks miserable. We've got to do something, and you need to make something happen." Maybe he went, "Well, we've got a barn." And she might have gone to the door and said, "Hey, sweet girl, young man, come back here for just a minute. Now, it's not much, but we've got a place at least you can lay your head." I don't know that that's the way it went, but obviously at some point they found a stable that had a manger. By the way, you know what a manger is? That's a fancy way to say feed trough. It's an animal feed trough, what it was. You know what swaddling clothes are? That's a nice way to say grave clothes. And so they said, we'll take it. At least it was a roof over their head. Now, I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all have ever spent any time around a farm or a barn? Not the most sanitary location, is it? By the way, it's got a smell to it. Not exactly a good one. It's a barn. It's a stable. And yet, that's where Jesus was born. And oh, it was also by design, by the hand of the Father, that that's where it would take place. Once again, showing that Jesus was very reachable. We go through this story, and there are so many things that we'll preach from this story. It says that in verse 6 that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. Once again, we're talking about time, aren't we? There was a certain amount of time that this took. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, grave clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But yet there was room for everything else in the inn. There was room for commerce. There was room for other people. There was room for gambling. There was room for all these other things. How much room have you and I made in our hearts for the Savior? And when the Lord says, I don't ask a whole lot of you, how about giving me an appointment, a daily appointment to meet me in the Word? Sorry, Lord, I got too much to do. That sounds kind of in your face, doesn't it? But you know, that's what we do. Lord, I'm busy right now. Listen, if you're too busy for God, then you're way too busy. And if you're too busy for God, then your priorities are completely out of whack. See, I kind of think about that like today. Our priority today should be on the day we celebrate the birthday of our Savior, being able to come together and worship Him. Thank you all for feeling that way as well. Hey, I'm not trying to hush out anybody. I'm not trying to do that. But why have we allowed our priorities to get so screwed up? That's a good biblical term, isn't it? Don't we? We just let them get all jacked up. Listen, we can even be so busy being religious that we miss Jesus. We can be so busy doing church things that we miss the Savior. And what I love about this particular story is that it was for everyone. I think about the shepherds. And if you look at history, the shepherds would come together, particularly at night. They would try to get their sheep together. If they were at a place where they actually had the walls built, they would bring the sheep all together in like a rocked, fenced-in type area. And the shepherds knew that the sheep were in there, but they still had to keep watch over them because guess what happens? At night, that's when the predators that want to try to eat them and take them away and kill them and do them harm, that's when they come in. In the darkness is when they come in. By the way, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever, remember that passage that where the Lord refers to us as sheep and He says, my sheep know my name? How many of y'all remember that passage? You know what's really cool about that? The sheep actually did understand the voice of their shepherd. That's why it was all right for them to put them all in there together. Because you know what? When the next day came around and they had to take them out there, the shepherd would just go up there and go, come here, sheepy. I don't know if it was that way, but you understand what I'm saying. Kind of like mamas. How many of y'all mamas ever put your babies in a nursery in church? Oh, okay. Yeah, some of you did. But did you ever notice that was the nursery within earshot? If you heard your baby cry, you knew it was your baby, right? Although I could tell which one was crying. If one, when the nursery was back there, if one would cry, you'd see a mother. I didn't see the rest of them and be like, nope, that one ain't mine. Not that they didn't care, but you know your own children. And the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And they will follow him. They will follow him. The angel made an announcement in the middle of the night, another dreadful day. I will always say this as long as I have an opportunity to preach this. Shepherds were essentially the lowest status on the totem pole. You didn't sit there and say, ooh, I want Johnny to grow up and be a shepherd. In fact, you would probably sit back and say, I want Johnny to grow up and be something other than a shepherd. They were the bottom of the social and economic status. They were looked down upon. And yet the announcement came to them. All of a sudden, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of another unfulfilled day, in the midst of a shepherd sitting back going, where did I go wrong? Maybe I should have gone to college. And our lives are the same way. We're like, how did I get here? In the midst of that, there was the light that broke. Notice in verse 8, now we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I'd be afraid too, wouldn't you? Something supernatural like that happen? It's like, whoa. But I love verse 10, then angels said to them, do not be afraid. How many times has God said throughout not only the Christmas story, but throughout the New Testament, do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then it says, and this will be a sign, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was, verse 13, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I would be going, wouldn't you? But do you get it? The first announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ was to the lowest socioeconomic status of people that there were. I've said this many times, the ground around the cross is all level. There's nobody that's any better than anybody else. You can take money, you can take status, you can take race, you can take all of that and get rid of it. Because in the sight of Jesus, he went to the cross for each and every one of us. He went to those who felt like they didn't even deserve to hear the message of the Messiah. Now, hearing the message of the Messiah and doing something about it are two different things, isn't it? You know, I believe with all my heart there's people today who have spent their whole lifetime in church that are on their way to hell. If they drew their last breath today, they would bust hell wide open. Sorry, English teachers. Burst hell wide open. Why? Because they have that head knowledge we talked about instead of the heart knowledge. That's what they've got. They got it up here. But it's never sunk in. And what happens is the angels, now that they've seen this, they were also told, you'll find him down the road, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Did the angels say, y'all need to hurry up and get on down there? Is that what the angel said? No. No. But what did they do? They said, we must go see this. And guess what that meant? It was going to take time. Oh, geez, we're coming back to that time thing again, aren't we? They took time out of their schedule. They took time away from the sheep to be able to go and worship the Savior. You know what I love about it? Guess what you all did today? You took time out of your schedule to make the journey to be with the Master. I love it. You shepherds have answered the call. Now, there's nothing magical about church. But yeah, there is. That was a theological statement there, wasn't it? You know what's magical about it? The Lord shows up and inhabits the praise of his people. Isn't that cool? You are my family. You are my brothers and sisters. We have made a journey to see the Savior. You know, as it goes on in the story, it talks about the wise men. And it says that the wise men saw the star. And all of a sudden, they started off on a journey, didn't they? Showed up at the wrong place to start with. Now, I always have to interject this as well, because we know that when it talks about the wise men finally getting to see Jesus, it says, and when they came into the house. Wait a minute, time out. Where was Jesus based on the scripture we just read? He was born in a barn. He was born and laid in a manger. But yet it says that when the wise men got to him, he was in the house. If you don't think so, look at it. So how long was it before the wise men actually got to him? Well, according to the scriptures, that should be about a 2-year period of time. Jesus was presumably around 2 years of age by the time the wise men got there. Well, how do you know that, Preacher Roy? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Because remember what Herod said. Herod told them, wise men said, when you find Jesus, I want you to come back and I want you to tell me so I can go worship him too. But that wasn't his plan. But see, remember, the wise men, when they first stopped off at Herod's place, and Herod had found out from them at what time they had seen the star appear, right? And it says that Herod decides that he's going to have all the male children 2 years of age and under killed according to the time that the wise men told him they had seen the star. And that, my friend, is how the wise men showed up at the house and not the stable. I'm not asking you to believe me. You'll find it. Read it in here. It's what it says. I've said this before. Every Christmas play we know of, we got some camel jockeys coming in with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, don't we? We got them showing up at the manger. That's okay. Look, you can, not unless somebody's out in front going 2 years later. You know, and then they come along and then they change scenes or something. I get it. That's okay. But we got to know it up here. Too many of us don't know about the Savior that we supposedly serve. It takes time. The angels left. Verse 15 says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's not go pack something. Let's not come up with every excuse in the world to keep us from doing what we need to do. How many of y'all have people like that in your life? Well, we got to do this. We got to do that. Only let's not do it today. Well, we need to go do that. Only let's not do it now. How many of y'all have some people in your life that you say, hey, well, we ought to do this? They say, well, let's go. None of you. Y'all don't have people in your life like that? They scare you, don't they? You sit back and say, oh, well, you know what? We need to get together more often. That sounds great. Let's do it tomorrow. I didn't really mean that. Jeez. Why didn't you really mean that? Because it takes time. How many of us are willing to invest the time into Jesus that he's asking us to? Well, Lord, I'll invest, but I'm only going to give you a few cents here. Listen, I'm not talking about money there, although there's another, I could. I'm talking about investing your life into Jesus, the one that you supposedly serve. You can't even give him time each day to read one chapter a day in the Word of God. You can't give him time to sit back and pray because we're too busy. You can't give him time on Sunday because it's Christmas. I can't give him time on this Sunday because it's a pretty day and the tea times are all filled up. We come up with every excuse because the devil gives us every excuse in the world, doesn't he? Well, I don't want to go down there because the preacher always makes me feel bad. Well, that might tell you something. It's not about the preacher, it's about the message. The Holy Spirit will step on some toes. I'm not here to blow sunshine your way. There's other preachers that'll do that. I'm going to be careful, I'm not going to say names. I'm not here to beat you up either, but I'm here to preach the truth to you and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. The Holy Spirit's saying to you, said it before, you know, too many times we're busy singing, standing on the promises, and we're too busy sitting on the premises. What are you going to do about it? Well, it's going to take time. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's going to cost me something. Yep, yeah, boy, it will. But I've learned this, that if I give God the time, He gives me more time. I've learned that if I invest financially into the kingdom, if it's going to cost me money, God always gives it back. Weird how He does that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I've tried to outgive God before. I can't do it. All right, Lord. You know why? Because everything happens in His time. Everything that happens in your life is part of the journey. And the question is, are you going to trust Him on the journey? There are going to be times that that journey is going to be full of tears. There's going to be time that that journey is going to be full of laughter. There's going to be times when there's heartache and there's sorrow, and then there's going to be times when it's going to be victorious. There are going to be times when you're on the mountaintop, and there are going to be times when you're in the valley. But let me make you a promise. The same God that is the God of the mountaintop is the same God that's with you when you go through the valley. It says they came and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And I'm going to wrap it up with what verse 17 says. It says, now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know what they did? The shepherds became missionaries. They couldn't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. I can just imagine what it'd be like. Listen, the coolest thing happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. We were out there one night, and you know what happened? And all of a sudden, the sky filled up with light, and the craziest thing happened. An angel of the Lord said, we were scared to death, but they told us don't be afraid. It's like a little child telling you how they get excited. They said, don't be afraid. It was all going to be good. And then they said, we're going to find Jesus, and He's going to be down in Bethlehem, and He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's going to be lying in a manger. So what we did is we said, we're all going to get together. We just left one back here, but we're just going to take everybody. We're going to go down here, and we're going to go see what was going on. And when we got there, we found it, just like what they said. No, they didn't sit back and say, we're going to go tell everybody. They just did it because of the joy in their hearts, because Jesus provides hope, doesn't He? Where there's Jesus, there's hope. I pray that you have the joy and the hope that is in Jesus. I pray that today you and I will look at time. Time is the most valuable commodity that there is, even more so than money. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. But you know why that is? Because you can't get time back, can you? How many of y'all have ever wasted time on something? How many of you have ever regretted wasting that time? And you sit back and you said, well, there was 10 minutes of my life I'll never get back. There was 2 hours of my life. I went to this seminar and I just wasted 4 hours of my life that I'll never get back. Because it was useless to you. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not going to waste your time whatsoever. We're all on a journey. Maybe today, this Christmas, things look bad for you. I promise you, Jesus has a plan, and that plan is coming to fruition. It is His time. It is His timing. Trust what He's going to do. Continue to seek Him while He may be found. And sit back, and when you're at the end of your rope, you say, Lord, just help me to tie a knot in the end of this bad boy and hang on for dear life, because I promise you He's going to show up exactly when you need it. What have you been doing with your time? I said a moment ago, there's a lot of people that have been church-related that are going to hell. First of all, I want to ask you if you know Him. Has there been that time when you have confessed your sins before the Father, when you said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, that right now, if I drew my last breath, I would wind up in hell? There's going to be a lot of religious people in hell. Don't be that person. Don't let it just be head knowledge. Let it trickle down to be heart knowledge. Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you called out to Him and said, Lord, I believe. It ain't the Polar Express. It's the Eternal Express. Lord, I believe. Forgive my sins. come into my heart and save my soul. Listen, if you haven't done that, whether you're here, whether you're part of our online audience, I want to just invite you right now, just where you are, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I realize I am a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me to live for you in Jesus' name. Now, I want to say that if you sincerely meant that with all of your heart, the Lord knows that. He is recording your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't let that be that. Listen, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. We want to help you. If you're part of our online audience, please let Dr. John know. Say, hey, I trusted Christ today. We just want to get you some material, some information to help you as you grow in your faith. If you're here, listen, let us know. We're here to celebrate. This is a time of celebration. That's what it's all about, celebrating the babe who was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I want to thank you for your time. This is the Lord's day, and you gave it to him. And let me say this. I believe that God is going to bring you some great promise, not only some great promise, but some great blessing, because today you chose to honor him. It's that simple. I believe that with all my heart. I really, really do. Maybe you're here today and you said, man, I have got this thing all jacked up. How many of y'all have ever screwed up in your Christian walk? How many of you ever screwed up a lot in your Christian walk? There's my people. The rest of y'all perfect people. I want to hang around y'all a little bit. I'm do a little better. Try to do a little better for myself. You know, every day is a challenge and every day is a struggle. But every day it's worth it when you put Christ first. Stop letting him fall to the bottom of the priority list and start making him the top of the priority list. And I will make you a promise. The promise I will make you is that he will show up in your circumstances. He will show up in your life. And guess what else he'll do? He will make your schedule become something that's manageable. You'll be like, well, where did the time, how did I get this time? Because you made the main thing, the main thing. I don't know how God does it. I just know he does. Maybe there's some things you need to deal with at the time of invitation. That's what we ask you to do. If you need this old altar, it's down here. If you just want to spend a moment in prayer there, if you need me, I'm here. But whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart and mind, deal with it right now. Don't say, well, we'll do it later. That's the devil talking to you. Do it now. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, which is number 325, Whiter Than Snow. If they would make their way down to the front, but don't let this moment pass you by. Do not let the opportunity that God has put in your heart and spoken into your life right now, do not let this moment get away. Deal with him as only you can. Will you do that today? Will you make it right with him? Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us to continue to worship you by returning the tithe. And Lord, I know sometimes people don't look at that as an act of worship, but you know what's going on. You know what you've blessed us with. And Father, if you can't trust us with what you've given us, how would you ever trust us with anything more? May today we be found faithful in returning to you the tithe and the offering. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. Just a couple quick things before we pray you out here. We do not have evening worship services this evening. If you're one of our men, if you're not one of our men, if you're a guy, though, you can come to the men's breakfast every Wednesday at 10 a.m. At the Olympic Restaurant. What a great time that is of fellowship. Come be a part of that Wednesdays at 10. Don't forget, if you hadn't had a chance to contribute to the Lottie Moon offering and you so desire to do that, please take the moments to do that. I think we'll probably take it for next week or so, and then we'll get everything sent in. Also, January the 10th, from 2 to 6:30, we have our bi-monthly blood drive. So if you can be a part of that and support that, be sure to let Katie know. Katie does a great job organizing that. And just a couple things for this week. Birthdays. Nancy Young will celebrate a birthday this coming Wednesday, and Erica Twitty on Friday. So be sure to send them a happy birthday. Pass a hug along or whatever way you want to harass them a little bit and let them know that you love them. And then also on Monday, or tomorrow, is Jeff and Joy Pickard's wedding anniversary. So be sure to send them a little, hey, you've put up with each other for a long time. God bless you, and we'll see what the future holds. I'm going to let David come and dismiss us in a word of prayer, and if there's anything that I've forgotten, David's going to, he'll pick it up and put it down from there. Oh, I do want to say this while David's making his way up here. On behalf of our staff, we want to thank you guys so much for all the goodies, the cards, the gifts, the kindness, and everything that you have bestowed upon our staff. You guys know how to make a waistline increase and just share the joy and the love. But thank you all so much. We do truly appreciate all that, that you guys do for us.
Well, I should not have anything else I can add to that. His younger mind is a lot better than my older mind at remembering everything that's supposed to be done, and he got it all done today. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we're so thankful to be in your house. God, what a privilege it is to be here in your house on the birthday of Jesus. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made on Calvary's cross for us. Lord, we realize the nativity is just the beginning. The culmination is going to be Resurrection Day. We have this season of the year, Father, when we can focus our attention on you from now till Resurrection morning, Easter Sunday. God, help us to put you first in our life and to show the world that really there is a Savior. Well, bless us as we go our way. Keep us safe. Watch over us. Protect us. Bring us back next week to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.